Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Sam Renick. Sam, are you ready to do this?
George, I'm ready. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Let's do this. Sam excels at making it easy for anyone to teach and talk to kids about money. He has delivered programs to over 250,000 kids around the globe. He was named Financial Educator of the Year in 2016 by the National Financial Education Council, along with numerous other awards and accolades. We're excited to have you on. Sam, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
Well, George, thank you again. A little bit about myself. I'm going to be, I think, 59 this year. This is my third career and my first opportunity to be an entrepreneur. I'm a graduate from Loyola Marymount University here in Los Angeles. When I left Loyola Marymount University, I went to work in aerospace for a company at the time called TRW. They're part of Northrop. And it was somewhat ironic because this was a Fortune 100 company, and you know, they were very big on technology and R&D firm, and you know, lots of engineers and that type of stuff, scientists. And what's ironic about it is I have a hard time screwing a light bulb. But it turned out to be a perfect place for me, because it was like getting training or a PhD in how you develop ideas, take them out of your head and turn them into real things. We had a lot of experts at that, and I was just fortunate enough to work with them every day and soak in and soak up all the knowledge about that process I could, and it's been very useful, you know, my current endeavor. I spent about 12 years in aerospace, 10 years at TRW, and 2 at a company called SAIC. I left there, you know, I had been a good saver and a pretty good investor. You know, that's one of the things I think that I did really right from day one, from the start of my professional life. I put about a third of what I made away into saving and investment programs, including the company's 401k and, you know, my own IRAs and things of that nature. And so after about 12 years, I was in a pretty good position to try something different and new, and that's what I did. I went into financial services and did that for about 8 or 9 years. And to be quite candid with you, George, it was something I didn't really enjoy that much. There were it turned out to be a great experience in terms of research, essentially. I was able to talk to a lot of people about what they were doing with money. And I found out, opposite of what my dad had advised me and shared with me, that was Midwest common sense, people weren't saving and investing. And I guess the good news, that was part of the good news of that particular career, is I got to learn about a lot about the money choices people were making. And then one day, one thing I did love about the company I was at and in that industry is we had a weekly sales meeting, and usually those were outside independent trainers for mutual fund companies, insurance companies, things of that nature, highly seasoned. And you know, they'd come in and share a story with us about why we should represent products from their company. And they were all excellent teachers and storytellers. So, boy, I just really look forward to that. And one day, a gentleman showed up with an Etch-a-Sketch, if you remember those, sure, and a bubble blower. And I thought, well, what's he up to? What's his angle going to be? And essentially, what he was encouraging us to do was open college savings account and establish relationships with our clients for the long term. I was already doing that, so I bought in immediately. And more important for me, it got me to thinking, you know, about why I started in saving right out of school. And I reflected on that a lot and realized my father, even though we grew up with very limited financial resources, hovering right around the poverty line, there were 7 in our family, so we really learned how to stretch a dollar. But it seems like almost from birth, my father was talking to myself and my brothers and sister about money and smart money management, you know, ideas. And some of those tapes still run through my head. So I thought to myself, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be interesting if we could do something in the financial services industry that was fun for kids, but communicated some financial knowledge? And that's kind of what got me started into my third career as a entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur, if you will, in the financial literacy space, officially starting in 2001. And for about the first 10 years, we had basically what I would describe as a service-based model, where myself, initially it was just myself, but eventually after a couple of years, myself and Sammy Rabbit, the costume character, went around to schools, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, a lot of military bases, particularly the Air Force, thanks to the Air Force Aid Society, and eventually the Department of Defense, doing it basically a 45-minute to one-hour program where we would read to kids a story that communicated what we think is the most important idea for kids to learn about money, and that is saving is a great habit, George. And then we also developed the music around Sammy Rabbit, who is our main character and essentially our vehicle, if you will, for communicating messages on money and other great habits as well. And then we developed music around it and activities and tried to be as interactive as we could to communicate, as I said, messages like saving is a great habit. And when you think about it, you know, that's essentially the one of the main messages Warren Buffett shares with adults. You know, he says something to the effect that basically you should save first, then spend, not spend and try and save what's left. And so if you do save first, you know, that's a winning formula, and it has a lot of benefits for kids beyond the accumulation of money. Something I noticed on your blog site, you know, you talked about delayed gratification in one of your blogs, and you made a great point. I mean, I thought it was very fascinating, interesting. I think you made this blog right around July 4th. So you were talking about, boy, how long we had to wait for independence. It didn't come immediately. It was a 7-year wait, and it was worth the, you know, the wait. And indeed it was. And then, you know, you went on to talk about the marshmallow test, which I think still is the prevailing thinking to this day. And just essentially how important delayed gratification is. And I think that is the primary benefit for kids with respect to, you know, making a habit of saving. Sometimes people are like, oh no, you know, saving doesn't you know, pay a lot in terms of interest. But what I think people need to really fully recognize and realize is that saving, the benefits of saving and making it a habit, and I can't stress that enough, far exceed earning interest, learning to delay gratification, learning to set goals, and maybe even you know, protecting your money from poor spending choices, because you're building in some time to think about maybe how you want to use and allocate your money. That's another big benefit. And then, of course, you know, as we like to share with kids and adults, you're not only prepared for emergencies, but you're prepared for opportunities. And that I think those are some of the enormous benefits. So, you know, for me, this is my mission, my purpose in life. It came to me about you know, around 40 years old, and you know, that it makes up a big part of my life now. You know, in terms of hobbies and stuff like that, I, you know, I enjoy reading. I enjoy investing time in relationships with family and friends, and you know, I periodically enjoy sports as well.
Excellent. Well, there's a lot of good stuff there. I appreciate you sharing all that information with us. And I couldn't agree with you more. Savings is probably the most important habit that we can get. And like Mr. Buffett said, you need to learn how to save first, then spend, not the opposite. And frankly, saving money is sort of a foreign concept for most adults, right?
And you're exactly right, George.
Well, and it's just because we didn't necessarily ever have to, right? When we're kids, we're not making a lot of money necessarily, so we're not having to save it. And then all of a sudden, we don't have pensions anymore. And so now I'm in the workforce and I'm a grown-up, but I never necessarily learned the habit of saving. So I think it's so great the work that you're doing, because you are filling a much-needed role of actually teaching kids how to save money. And I think that most parents want to do that, but they don't have the skills to do it.
Well, thank you, George. I think you're right. You hit on a lot of issues. Talking to kids about money is difficult for a variety of reasons. And, you know, one of them is they may not have the skills to their own behavior, maybe in conflict with their message. And so that, you know, creates some problems as well. And then there is a point I do want to make related to this. Something I like to share with people is that, you know, in reality, we're always teaching kids about money. Money is ubiquitous. What we may not be doing is consciously or intentionally teaching kids with money, and that's what we should be doing. So, for example, if you're having a conversation, and I'm going to say with a young kid, and when I say a young kid, I mean ages 8 and younger. Maybe you're sharing with them a dream to go to Disneyland. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. So you hear a lot about that, or you even hear people here wanting to go to Disney World in Florida. That is a money conversation, as far as I'm concerned. Anything that implies the use of money is about money. Now, you may not use the word money, but that could be a $1,000 conversation. If you happen to live in Los Angeles and you're taking a family of four to Disneyland, if you have to fly to get here or whatever, you know, it might be a lot more expensive. And, you know, one of the things I'm thinking is that, you know, we should have these types of conversations, but if we tweak them a little bit, you know, we could add more purposefulness and let's call it quote unquote financial intelligence to the conversation. Like, you know what, Sammy Jr. or Samantha Jr., I can't wait to start planning our trip to Disneyland. It's going to be so much fun. We can sit together and think about what we're going to do, how we're going to use our time, how we'll use our money, how much money we'll take with us, and things of this nature, you know, that start infusing and injecting the vocabulary that's related to the wise use of both money and time. And it puts a slightly I think different context to it and a more responsible one. Another blog I saw, and I think it was one of your recent ones on your blog, had to do with personal responsibility. So I think, you know, that's a big idea.
I think that's great advice whenever you are, and you could probably incorporate a very practical exercise into everything that we do as adults, if it's paying our bills or going to the grocery store, certainly planning for a large expenditure like going to Disney World or Disneyland, and just walking them through the steps of it, which to somebody who does it all the time might seem like mundane details, but to a kid who has no concept of it, it's an excellent opportunity to do some teaching. So that's awesome.
Exactly. You know, how are we going to save up for it? How are we going to earn for it? So I think you're exactly right. You could, you know, transfer, you know, some lessons. So there's some teaching. And then you're also investing time with your child or your children. And that's something that they want. And you're doing it in a very, you know, I think in a very balanced way. There is that allure and excitement of, you know, let's call it a dream, if you will, and how to make it come true and all the steps that are you know, required to do it.
Nice. Is there a certain age that you recommend people start talking to their kids about money?
Yes, this may surprise you. I think around month 7 while your child is in the womb. That's when some of the studies think learning begins. And so, you know, I think what you want to start doing myself is the earlier the better. That's the main point. What the studies are showing, and I believe they're true having talked to a lot of kids, is that adult money habits and attitudes, and this is important, adult money habits and attitudes are formed prior to age 7. So the way they think and feel about money is already programmed in, hardwired, if you will, by the age of 7. Now, kids, you know, they may not be able to articulate all of their thinking and feeling, feelings about money, but they definitely have them. We've asked a lot of kids under the age of 7 questions like, you know, what's important about money? And, you know, their answers may or may not surprise you. You know, it's like, Chuck E. Cheese, that's right. What's important about money. or Happy Meals, you know. And so it's interesting. It shows that kids are capable of learning and absorbing knowledge. And if they've heard things enough, they're even capable of articulating some of those thoughts. That's the part that I think that, you know, parents and educators have to ease off a little bit, or with respect to their expectations, that kids may not be able to articulate everything they're learning, but from day one, they're just studying you, you know, and they're trying to figure out things and they're absorbing things in their mind. So the way we talk about money, the way, even when we're not talking directly about money, using the term money, like, oh, let's go to Starbucks and get, you know, three frappuccinos or whatever it is. You know, that's a money conversation. That's a, you know, that's a $15 conversation. If you're doing it every day, you know, that's a, you know, in multiple thousands. Even if you're doing it once a week, it's close to $1,000 conversation. So the way we talk about it makes a big difference, I think. So you want to get down, I think you want to write down, you know, what your philosophy, your family philosophy is, some basic values with respect to, you know, we want to save some money. When we spend money, and a lot of people talk about spending, I think it's important to say, you know, we're smart spenders. We use our money wisely. We think about our spending choices, things of that nature. I think it's important to add something to the spending. What type of spending do we do? We just don't spend money. Sure, we may spend some for fun, and that's a good thing. But in general, I mean, there's a lot of messages out there about spending. You know, spend a lot, spend it fast, spend it now, spend it today, spend it on chocolate, spend it on churros. You know, we need to get that, you know, we're savvy spenders, we're smart spenders. You know, that's what wise people do. And then I think the same thing with giving, that should be a part of the message. We give wisely, and maybe we give generously, but we give wisely and diligently. You know, we do our homework. And I think investing has to be a part of that conversation. Something that you shared, I think it was in this recent blog, and I love this. I didn't read the whole thing, but the one sentence that jumped off the page was, you know, we all need to be millionaires. And I think you picked this up from somebody else you were interviewing. And I think that's exactly right, just from the standpoint of retirement, which is what I think the context of this particular blog, you know, was. And so, you know, that kind of thinking, I think, is missing by and large, you know, in conversations between parents and kids, teachers and kids, family, friends and kids. And so I think, you know, the earlier we can start with our own communications, what our values are, using storybooks, using songs, using activities, playing games with kids, getting them involved with shopping. You know, you want to get kids involved. That's something you shared just a little bit earlier. That's a key thing. Get them doing things, and then shape and guide them in a direction that is very specific to what your thinking and values are with respect to money. So if you can clarify your own thinking and values on money, then it's going to be a lot easier to communicate those to your kids. And bottom line, start early, and keep in mind education is a process. So, you know, there are levels and layers. So it's ongoing. You need to keep repeating messages and then adding new messages. And parents are in the best position to make determinations about, you know, where kids are at in the learning process and how much information to give them. But certainly young kids, I think, you know, you can share with them messages like saving is a great habit, or we spend smart, things of that nature. And then you can start doing activities like depositing coins into a savings jar or a piggy bank, you know, with them. And then, you know, when they're ready, you know, having them pick out some items, maybe at the grocery store. There's a lot of opportunity for financial teaching and literacy at grocery stores. So start early, George.
Nice. Lots of good stuff. Well, Sam, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
You know, I'm just going to stay with saving is a great habit. I thought, you know, it's a great question. For me, it's one I reflected on for about a year before I got into this area. I thought to myself, if there was only one tip that I could give either an adult or a child that they could understand and take action on that would make a difference in their life, what would it be? And I really kind of concluded that it was pay yourself first. And I translated that into saving as a great habit, because when you think about it, if you're making a habit of saving, you're doing it automatically, you're doing it weekly or bi-weekly, and essentially you're paying yourself first, you're building up your economic preparedness, you're building up your financial future, and as you mentioned earlier, it's a great springboard to then go into investing. So saving is a great habit. That's my difference maker.
Oh, that is great stuff, and that definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So thank you so much for that. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
SammyRabbit.com. SammyRabbit.com. SammyRabbit.com.
Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Sam your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Thank you again, Sam.
George, you're very welcome. Thank you. I hope you and the whole Savage Money Nation has a Sammy-ripping day.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.